Good evening, everybody. This is N2OAL, operating as K2BR, which is the call sign of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. I'm operating from Maywood, New Jersey. We'll be tonight's next co-operator for the regular Thursday evening net of the Bergen County Amateur Radio Association, otherwise known as our TechNet. This net may be broken for any emergency or priority traffic. Is there any emergency or priority traffic at this time? This net is open to any licensed radio amateur who holds a technician class or higher license. It meets every 9 p.m. every Thursday. Repeater frequency used is 146.79, with the input down 600 megahertz. And, well, it's actually 0.6 megahertz. At 146.19, the field tone is 141.3. This is a directed net that is convened for the purpose of training and informing members the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, but any licensed amateur is welcome to participate. This 146.79 repeater is owned and operated by the Bergen County FM Association. Bear uses this repeater with the permission of the BCFMA. Please support the repeater by joining the BCFMA. Okay, we'll take check-in. Anybody who has any interest, you can either have a question, no question. So please call K2BAR, and which call, and then I'll acknowledge you and then please give your name, and whether you have a question or no question. We'll start with anybody whose call begins with the letter A or the letter N. Anybody whose call begins with the letter W. Well, to be short net, anybody whose call begins with the letter K.
KC2AWX, the name is Harvey in beautiful Fairlawn, New Jersey, and I have a question.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB, name is Richard, no questions, no comments at this time.
Thank you, Harvey. Thank you, Richard. Next. Anybody out there whose letter I haven't called yet? Please come now.
KA2BDU, Helmut. No question.
Any other stations? Well, Gordon is not here today. He's probably en route from the church back home. I volunteered to step in. Should be a short net. We only have one question, and I probably won't be able to answer it. So, we'll go to the top of the list. Harvey, KC2AWX. Come with your question.
K2BAR, KC2AWX. My question is, all right, last summer I operated my QRP rig, the FT817. I ran a 12-volt gel cell battery. I hooked it to the radio, and that had a constant 13 volts. Now, I charged those batteries during the day in the sunlight with solar panels. Now I want to build or buy a controller for the battery so it will stay constant and not drop down in voltage. Is there such a thing, or who makes it, and where do I buy it, and what does it cost? That's my question. KC2AWX.
Harvey, before you go on, question. How many volts, how many milliamps does your controller supply, and how many amp hours is your battery rated for?
The battery is rated for 4. No, one is for 4 amp hours and the other one's for 8. And the solar panel puts out 24 volts.
battery's hooked up. What's the milliamp flow? 50?
I think probably a half a amp. I've never checked it, that's the thing, but I did check on the voltage. And, yeah, that's my problem. I want to find a controller for the battery. Who makes them? Who sells them? Can you buy a kit? All that knowledge I want to know.
Richard, do you have any ideas?
K2PAR, this is KC2PYB. Yes, I have seen such a device. I believe a company called DC Pack. I've dealt with them before. I bought some batteries with charging circuits and et cetera, built into them that I use when I go mobile because I have the same radio that Harvey has. And I believe it's not a kit. It's an assembled item that they have. I don't know if Harvey's looked in the Aries catalog or the MFJ catalog. I think I've seen it in there as well. I, for the life of me, I cannot remember the cost of that particular item. But I am probably going to experiment if I run into Harvey. I'll talk to him about the solar panels and everything, because I'm trying to do a project similar to that, to charge my batteries, you know, keep charged up in the summertime for my mobile radios.
Thomas, any ideas?
KA2BDU.
Yes, Thomas, did you have any opinions on a solar panel?
Negative, sorry.
Okay, I bought a solar panel, maybe 8 inches by 12 inches. On a good day, I get 50 milliamps. With a 4 amp hour battery, what, the rule of thumb is 1/20th capacity. 4 amp hour, a tenth of it is 400 mils. 20th is 200 mils. 40th is 100 mils, and 80th rate would be 50 mils, which is why I asked you. If you're charging at 1/80th of the capacity of your battery, your regulator circuit should consist of one diode, and you don't bother with anything else. What do you think?
K2GCL repeater.
Sounds interesting. See, in about 3 months, I'm going to the Holy Land to visit my family, and I'll go down to the Red Sea for a week or two, and I'll be on 10 meters and 6 meters down there, and plenty of sunshine. So that's what I want to do. Take my solar panel, charge up a battery. I'll have to buy a battery in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, but that's no problem. I just want a controller on there. That's, it should be fun. I have a 10 meter and a 6 meter portable antenna that I'll use, you know, hanging out the window or something like that. But to charge the battery, that'd be neat, and control it. So, especially in that country, there's brownout, and there's times where they shut down the power or a part of the grid in certain parts of the country. So I want to have a portable power support for my radio. Thank you very much. KC2AWX.
So, why don't you put the meter in the circuit, have the battery reasonably discharged, such as maybe 11 volts, run your radio so it sits down to about 11.5 even. Fully put charged battery is 12.8. If you measure the current when your battery is down at least half, that's going to be the best the panel's putting out, especially if it puts out 20 volts, no load. So your voltage under load should be what, 13.8, 14 volts? If you're really lucky, 14.3. Don't think so. Then you look at the current. If your current is 1/80th of the amp hour capacity in milliamps, a charging circuit is going to use up half your juice. You don't need anything. The reason I've been playing with a solar cell for the same idea, but I found out to get any appreciable current, it's got to be reasonably big. So the question is, again, how big is your solar panel? How much current does it put out? That's what you're going to have to determine.
The solar panel is about the size of the unit that you have. And what I like about it, it's so easy to charge the batteries, and it's not heavy, it's quite light, and it has a LED that blinks when the battery is being charged from the panel. It's quite neat.
Well, my panel puts out more than I thought. My panel is labeled 3.2 watts. Voltage at maximum power, 18.8 volts. Current at maximum power, 170 milliamps. So, if I have 170 milliamps, for a 4 amp hour battery, I'm approaching about 1/20th. Of the C capacity, that rate, 200, we just figured that out. On an 8 amp hour battery, I'm approaching 1/40th C, and if you put the two together, I'm approaching 1/60th C. So I suspect your controller is going to use up more juice than battery. On Yahoo, one of the groups, you go to groups.yahoo.groups, no, I'm sorry, groups.yahoo.com. One of the groups is called 12 volt DC, and I read the stuff that comes through every day. It's so interesting. It's people who want to live off-grid, that are heavily into solar power, wind power, and water power, and they have the most interesting files in there. You can find out almost anything to do with battery capacity on solar power. You can find their recommendations for the controller. And I'm telling you, in this situation, the controller will cost money and it will be basically useless. The reason it's going to be useless is, assuming you have 12 hours of sunlight a day, just to make it easy for myself, 12 hours of sunlight a day, you could charge up your batteries. You know, if you're going to have 60 hours to charge up your batteries fully. That means at 12 hours, it's going to take 5 days, full sunlight, with no loss. So by the time you factor in loss, 6 days. If you have your batteries are dead, it can take you 6 days to charge them up. If you're using the radios at all, you'll never get ahead with that panel. Your battery capacity, your batteries will never be fully charged, and that's with a simple diode. Therefore, since you can't really hurt the batteries charging them at such a low rate, you could leave them on theoretically forever. I don't see the advantage of spending money for a controller.
All right. That's interesting. The other thing factor on it, I would want to charge up the AA batteries for my and for my camera. See, my Pantex digital camera works off of four AA batteries. So I thought I'd kill a half a dozen birds with the same stone.
Good idea. However, you need two different strollers, one for the 12-volt, one for the AA. What I would do is I happen to have a charger that I bought. I just looked at it on eBay. It's $18 plus about $9 or $10. And that's not a bad price because I think I paid $30 for it. I think it was a good price back a couple years ago. Now this is a charger. It allows you to discharge your batteries or whatever. And each, it allows you to charge 10 AA's or 10 AAA's or any number, 1 through 10. Each one is done individually. When it reaches, if you decide to cycle them, you can put them in, and it blinks as it's discharging. So when it starts charging, it goes from a blinking red to a steady red. When it's fully charged, it turns green. Runs off of anything from 12 to 14 volts. It has all its regulator circuit inside. You'd hook it up to your battery. You'd hook the solar panel into your battery so that there wouldn't be over voltage in this thing. And you charge your NiCad. The thing is, if you're using the batteries at all, with a charger like mine, which is 3.2 watts, you're never going to be fully charged. The only time you'd ever need a regulator circuit is if you were going to stick this thing in the window, and, well, actually, that won't even work, too, because you're only going to get a few hours of direct sunlight if it's in the window. But say you had it in the sun 12 hours a day. Well, after the first 6 days, your battery will be fully charged, and then you might think about cutting back on the juice. That's like if I was sitting at here and you just using it to keep my battery stopped off, then I'd use a regulator, perhaps. But in your case, you're going to be using the radio every day. I don't think you'll ever catch up. I think the battery drain will be greater than the sun, and you might even have to wind up using a wall charger.
Very interesting. Yeah. So you're trying to say that no matter what I do, I just won't be able to win or come out in first place. All right. That answers the whole thing, I guess. This is a good idea, even for Richard, if he wants to go out and, say, to Bear Mountain with his QRP rig. Well, he's got the same problem.
K2GCL, repeater.
KC2AWX.
Wanted to run his station off of it. He could go to Harbor Freight and buy a couple of their 45-watt panels. Now, if you were trying to charge with a 45-watt panel, which would give out approximately 10 times the power, is this? More? Somewhere around a couple amps at the battery charging voltage. Well, you'd need the charging controller circuit for your particular setup because you'd cook that battery. You'd be charging it at a rate of not 1/20th C, but a half C. And the battery would heat up and maybe even explode after a short period of time. It's not something you want to do on a 4 amp hour battery with 2 amps in. So if you had a big solar panel, you would have to have a controller. But as long as we're using, you and I both have panels that are minuscule compared to the size of our batteries, we don't really need a controller. The iron will do it. But see, as long as we're using it, you know, as a power source. As I said, the only time you'd ever think about it is if you were letting it sit in the window in the bright sun in Tel Aviv and just had it sit there for months at a time. Then you might think about a controller. In my case, I got four 33 amp hour batteries. Basically, this charger at full blast, just stick it in the window, it's only going to get sunlight a few hours a day as the sun moves around. It'll just about keep those batteries charged. It'll just about make up for the self-discharge current. So, don't need a regulator. And even then, when you consider it, 4 33 amp hour batteries, that's what, 3366, 132 amp hours. I'm going to be charging at 1400 rate. So it's going to take me, 400 or 500 hours to bring the batteries up.
K2PAR, this is KC2PYB.
Hi, Richard.
Yeah, while you guys were talking, like I said, I have an 817, and I plan on taking it out. This company, or its website, this is all one word, PowerPortStore.com. They specialize in making accessories and portable power and solar power units for the 817 and that whole family of radios. What I have here, I think it costs me about $90, maybe a little more, I'm not sure. I have an 8 or 12 ampere hour battery. It's built into what looks like a pack, a small, like a butt pack. Harvey will know what I'm talking about. It comes complete. Built into that is the charging circuit. Comes with a wall charger you just plug in. I have the less expensive one, runs like I said, $80 or $90, where it charges up overnight, the battery. The more expensive ones charge it up in about, you know, depending upon how bad it is, 3-4 hours fully charges the battery. And the thing weighs about 10 pounds, maybe between 8 and 10 pounds. Everything fits into this pack, and you just charge it up the night before, whatever, and go. Just take it along with you. It has an accessory to plug the 817 right into it, and it's got lights on it, that, you know, little LEDs that tell you what you know, what level of charge you still have left in your battery, whether you're fully charged or half charged or whatever. And you just plug it in during the daytime, and it charges it up. And, you know, there's a little light on there when you're ready to rock. And that's what I use when I go out. Like I said, I am, though, looking at solar power. I did see N2OPJ at Field Day had a setup with a solar panel that I was very interested in.
That's nothing. Wait till he comes to Barra and shows you what he did to his house. He spent $22,000, I think, $24,000, put solar panels on his house. It's a good idea, but what I'm saying is sometimes it doesn't pay to over-engineer something, and it depends on the amount of current the solar panel is putting out compared to the capacity of his batteries. It's strictly a mathematical relationship, and depends on his use. Harvey should perhaps think about joining the Yahoo group, because it has so much good information. It really is. And the formulas are rather interesting. I really was enjoying the way they were calculating. If you have a trailer and you want to go solar and you're using X number of watts a day, how to figure the battery capacity needed and the solar capacity needed. They're heavily into that. So perhaps you can check out their group and see if anything there is of use to you.
That sounds like a good idea. You know, I've got one of those batteries that Richard described. It comes in a red pouch, and you stick a wall wart into it and charge it up overnight. Yeah, that's the one that I couldn't find the fuse for. Finally found one in Radio Shack. And the people at Radio Shack had no idea that they had such a thing. But, yeah. Oh, I think Noel bought one of those power packs also at the auction. This was about 2 or 3 years ago. That's a very good idea. And you have, Richard. Thank you very much for that idea. KC2AWX.
Yeah, these are, I know the ones you're talking about, the red tax. I saw them about 2 years ago at the Ham Fest, and I was fresh out of cash at the time. And after I got my 817, I started looking around for tax and stuff and this and that. The same company that makes the tax also makes all these power bags, if you want to call it. They even have like what W2TTT, like the, you know, the orange box thing. There's on an orange though, there's a black. Everything they make is in a black bag. And they even have them where they're waterproof. You can take the thing and dump it in water, and the batteries, everything will be fine. Of course, you know, you pay for that. But yeah, this is similar to what you're talking about with the red bags, but this is much bigger and far more powerful than anything I've seen that they make.
Now, I'll tell you, for emergency use, that type of radio and that type of setup, terrific. Because I've seen it, right, when I lived in Israel, at least 4 to 10 hours a week, we didn't have power. And I couldn't listen to the radio, because on the radio I could hear all the European shortwave stations, Radio Monte Carlo, Jordan, Egypt, Lebanon. But when the power went off, that was it. And I had no way to charge up my little transistor battery. So I wish I would have had something like that years ago. KC2AWX.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I think if you go to this website, they make a lot of things like what you're possibly looking for. They make the all these power accessories and packs and stuff for the 817, the 857, the 897, you know, that whole family of radios. They even make them for the old, I even have the same setup for the Yazoo FT90, which I own. And remember, the radio even fits in there with the battery. And it's the exact same setup. Except the big power bag that I have, you can plug three things into. And the FT90, you can only plug it into. The, you know, it's designed only to plug the FT90 into it. It has a Yazoo connector on it. But if you look at that website, PowerPortStore.com, all one word. You can jump around to other pages on their website, and they make stuff like you're talking about, you know, for like the pen lights and stuff like that. You know, again, you got to plug it into the wall. You might be able to modify it for solar power. I'm not knocking solar power. I'm looking to go that way myself for this summer. What I know of solar power, like I said, my experience with that, working with the parking authority here, you get all these calculations are talking about a bright, sunny day. Now, in Israel, you're going to get that more than anything else, more than you are here in Fort Lee. But I'm sure they have overcast days there, and it may rain once or twice a year there as well. And again, dirt, dust, all kind of residue builds up on the face of the solar panel, and even if it's a bright sunny day, it cuts down on the charging. So all those calculations are fine, and it makes the mathematicians happy, but the reality is they don't function that way.
K2GCL repeater.
Exactly. KC2AWX. I had on my apartment outside of Tel Aviv a solar water heater panel, and that would get the water boiling, scalding hot, and I would have to climb on the roof and with a pail of water and clean the panel up at least three times a year to get the dust and the sand off. And the sand is the worst thing because it hits the glass or the plastic that was on the panel, and it would really frost the glass. So every couple of years I would change the unit. It was costly, but nice, free, hot water. KC2AWX.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I used to live in the Southwest for about 9 years when I got out of the Army. And, you know, I'm familiar with, like, the sandstorm. Sand gets into everything. You're not keeping it out. Sand gets into everything. It used to drive me crazy. And like I said, when I worked up here in Fort Lee for the Parking Authority, temporary employment, one of my jobs was every once a week to go around and clean all the solar panels on the machines in the parking lot. So they could, you know, they would stay, you know, functioning properly. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of simple maintenance. It's not really hard maintenance. But like I said, I'm sure, you know, sand, storms and whatever, or, you know, plays havoc with them out there. Because I know it played havoc with them when I was in El Paso.
Thomas, do you have anything interesting to say?
Not really, Noel. I'm fooling around here with antennas and connectors, and we're doing rearrange my radios. Over.
Richard's right about the calculations. They're only a good starting point. But they are a starting point, and I'm still think neither you or I are going to need a controller until we get a solar panel that's reasonably decent. The cheapest solar panel seems to be the Harbor Freight ones, and the current recommendations are you buy the Harbor Freight kit when it goes on sale, throw away their controller and buy a decent one for like $30. They give the various brands and recommendations. Again, I don't think we need one for a 4-amp-hour battery. Any other opinions, questions, topics?
Well, I think he would be better off taking a bicycle like you have and hook up a couple of generators, and you can charge your batteries and at the same time get a little exercise. And a bicycle you find any place in the world.
Helmut, the only generators they have seem to be 6-volt for most of them. You can buy them at Target for less than $10 for the whole kit. But it's only going to give you maybe 200 mils, which is probably more than the solar panel, come to think of it. Maybe we need to give them a stationary bike so they could sit there and pedal. And you'd need two generators to get 12 volts. But yeah, it probably would work.
I'm sure, Noel, you could figure it out for him. And he's all set with his power supply.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB.
KC2PYB, this is K2BAR, go ahead.
Okay, I've got another catalog here. It's called All Electronics Corporation out of California. I think Anaheim, I'm not sure. They were in the QST magazine, and I sent them their catalog, and I bought a lot of stuff from them. And they have two interesting items, a 12-volt mounted solar panel, puts out 1,260 milliwatts maximum power, 18 volts, no load, current 60 to 70 milliamps, that's $36. And there's another, right under that, a trickle charger with solar cells, I don't have my glasses on, it's a little difficult to read, rated at 12 volts DC at 125 milliamps. And, you know, the whole thing is, it's very small, actually. It's, 13.5 by 4 3/4 by a little over a half inch thick. ticket goes for 3295. This is KC2PYB.
Assuming direct sun, how many hours would it take to charge up a 4 amp hour battery?
Well, I'm not good at math. I said the 1201 is 1200 and something watts, 60 to 70 milliamps it puts out.
Oh, it's simple. The math is simple. If we were doing 40 milliamps, not 60, well, let's do 40 first. 40 milliamps times 10 would give us 400 milliamp hours, times 100 would give us 4 amp hours. So at 40 milliamps, you need 100 hours to charge up the battery if it's completely dead. At 80 milliamps, you'd need 50 hours. So the panel is going to take a while to charge you up. I'm envying him. One thing, the sun would be in there with nobody having electricity for several hours. Boy, I would get on the radio. I would have, because there would be no interference. Unless there was a thunderstorm or something, no static. No motors, no generators, no power line noise. I would be in heaven. Over to you, Harry. Well, no Harry. Over to you, Richard.
Yeah, that would be the ideal world for you, but I'm sure people who have that situation, I don't know if the power goes out for that many hours total at one time, or that's total during the week. You know, they cut it out for a couple of hours. But I'm sure people living under those situations, that there's got to be a great market in generators. And, maybe not in apartments, but private homes, et cetera, where people would have room for generators. Well, even here, we have some of the big high-rises in Fort Lee have their own generators in case of power failure, just to operate the elevators, and certain essential lighting for safety. This is KC2PYB.
Yeah, generators tend to make noise.
Well, they make noise in the outside, but the silence of darkness is a lot worse.
No, I meant they make electrical noise, both in the lines and in the, with the spark plugs.
Oh, yeah, okay, I understand what you're saying, but, I've been in the field day, and I'm sure you have, where you've been operating off generator power, and that's one of the major things, you know, even in the ARRL books, you know, generators as emergency power to operate our radio equipment, any EOCs, fire stations, police dispatch, hospitals, etc. So it's got to be filtered somehow. I know we have 22 of them here in Fort Lee. Even one big monster you got to pull with a truck. It looks like something straight out, I remember from the Army. It's like a 15 kW or something like that. And we roll them out whenever we have to for emergency power. Even in our plant, when we set up the Racing's or Aerie Station in the town or whatever, we've got a fairly large Honda generator, that has its own wheels on it, handles, and you can roll it along, and we bring one of those in so we can operate our radios in an emergency. So, and we've never had a problem, really.
K2GCL repeater.
Oh, well. I'm getting tired. Anybody else have a name?
Well, you can also buy fuel cells, and then they give you power for a long time, and it's quiet, and it's clean, and it's a good operation. And with that, I'm signing out now. Thank you, Noel, and 73.
73, Helmut. Richard, Harvey, anything else?
No, I've got nothing, Noel.
Harvey?
KWX. I'm talking to a guy by the call sign BK9KIS in Melbourne, Australia, on Skype. BK3KIS.
Okay, you can talk to him. I'm going to say 73, declare the net closed. Have a great day, Harvey, and Richard, and Helmut, and 2OEO, otherwise known as KQBAR. We'll be clear and QRQ.